Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good Wednesday morning. It is Wednesday, November 9th. It is the day after our country's elections, and my favorite Facebook post so far has been, regardless of who is president, Christ is still king. And that's about as political as I'm going to get. I also think it's quite funny that once again, the Holy Spirit in its infinite wisdom has sent us the perfect book to travel with, traverse the rest of this week, Finding God's Peace in Everyday Challenges. Yep, that's today's book. I'll be looking at it today, tomorrow, and then author Heidi Bratton will be joining me on Friday to discuss the book. Heidi and I met several years ago at a women's conference here in the Boston area. She used to live down on Cape Cod, the Cape, as we call it here in Massachusetts. And she wrote a column for our diocesan newspaper. And I've been a fangirl for a very long time. And we got to meet very early in my own ministry. And she prayed over me, and she just such words of encouragement. And we have a picture. I should find it. I need to find somewhere the picture of Heidi and I to post. It's gotta be, gosh, I don't even know if I'd adopted yet. So like 8 years ago, 10 years ago. So cute. She's wonderful. She's got such a heart for the Lord. She's a photographer. Like, her children's books are phenomenal. They're picture books. They're, you know, the hardcover picture books for like toddlers, infants and toddlers. Just gorgeous. Encouraging. She's just, and she's got some photography in this book as well. Yeah, she does, actually. Like, I think I saw some pictures in here. And she's also, she's a mom of six and just a great Catholic woman. Great, like I said, woman of faith and happy. I've been trying for 2 years to connect with Heidi to get her on the show. Her book, Finding Peace in Everyday Challenges, 100 Meditations for Women from the Word Among Us Press, includes a story that I was able to share with her. She put out and asked for requests for just stories about peace, the time that the Lord showed up in our lives in a great way and brought us peace. And I shared a story that happened when I was in China adopting faith. And actually last year, Sarah Reinhart, when she was on, shared, she was talking about the book, Finding God's Peace. She was reviewing it, and she found the story, and she said, hey, is this you? Because it's not, the names are changed. I can't remember now. Well, we're going to read the story tomorrow, but it's very short. I can't remember if she uses the name Faith or not, but she said, it's got to be you. Not too many people I know in the Catholic world have traveled to China and adopted a deaf 3-year-old. So I'm going to guess, this is you. And she was right. It was. It was just a moment during that whole trip where the Lord brought me great peace. Well, he brought me great peace in many different places. As you remember, last week I shared the story, our adoption story, and I, on one of our shows, I think it was the 31st, I think it was our Halloween, no, it was the 29th, October 29th, that Friday show. I will link it because it's really a remarkable story, not because it's my story, because I was just a piece of it. It's this remarkable story because it's a God story. It's a moment where God breaks through and calls on you to do something beyond yourself. You think you could never, so many things about that story I would have thought were completely out of my realm of capabilities. Like, I never would have thought I could adopt. And I never thought, just first and foremost, you know, I had biological children. The idea of adding an adopted child seemed scary and overwhelming. And I feared. I truly feared I wouldn't love her as much as I loved my boys, which was so unfounded. I love her more. There's more, most days I do. I just, because she's 10 and they're 20. And well, the other one's a teenager and she's a girl and they're boys. And so there's that. You know, I didn't know we'd be able to afford it. We've never been a financially sound couple at ever, but the Lord provided. He sent us to China. My husband doesn't like to fly. I have anxiety. He did all of it. It was swine flu epidemic. He kept us safe. The timing was perfect. We now have, you know, 8 wonderful new friends that are just probably be part of our lives forever because we traveled with 9 other families. I'd love to say we had 9 other friends, but sadly one family separated and we've not heard from them since we got home in 2007. But we still great friends, lifelong friends, an amazing experience. And in our faith exploded during that time. Maybe that's why he called us to name her Faith. We learned to trust. We learned to pray. We learned for saint intercession. Gosh, we learned just so much. And that's kind of what I think life in general should be. Every day should be these lessons in faith and trust and learning how to let the saints and our guardian angels intercede for us and guide us and protect us and enlighten us and grow us closer to him. We should always be heavenly minded, eternally minded, because as we know, none of us gets out of this alive. And that can create great moments of distress for us. But as Heidi will remind us again and again in her book, Finding God's Peace in Everyday Challenges, there is peace that the Lord offers, and all we need to do is reach out and embrace it. Part of my day, I don't know if you've been listening long enough and you know why Tuesday is an encore show and why I'm not live on Tuesdays. Well, I think I'll tell you now, because yesterday was quite a remarkable day I wanted to share with you. So back in last November, we were very much struggling financially, like, and I sound like my high school senior who I'm always yelling at to stop saying like. We were worried even to the point of not having money for our Thanksgiving dinner, which we were hosting. And my husband's in diaconate formation. I call it deacon school. And the priest teaching that class was sharing how his mother had taught him to pray to Saint Anne. But in her understanding of praying to Saint Anne, with that prayer needed to also come a favor. Not that the saints require us to offer them favors, but in Thanksgiving, which was kind of ironic at the time, not because it's a quid pro quo, like I'll do this and then you do that. No, it's in Thanksgiving for their answer that you ask if they would like something in return. So last year, we're very much struggling, didn't know how we were going to pay for Christmas, Thanksgiving dinner, gas in our car. It was bad. And I started a novena. That's a 9-day prayer, 9 days in a row prayer to Saint Anne. And halfway through, I thought, you know what, Saint Anne is, of course, the mother of Mary. I said, you know, I'm not going to wait for the answer that I'm looking for. I'm just going to offer you Thanksgiving now, because I know that regardless of how it is answered, whether it's how I want it to or it's, of course, God's will, which is always the answer to every prayer. You want it to be God's will. I'm going to just offer you a prayer of Thanksgiving because I know that there's peace. Like, I felt peace in my heart shortly after I started to pray that regardless of the outcome, everything was going to be okay. And so I said, what is it you'd like? And in prayer, I got this really strong feeling that I was supposed to start to bring communion to the elderly. And I thought, no, that one's kind of difficult. Can we have a different one? Can you ever do that? Ask God for an answer. He gives it to you. And you're like, no, I don't think. I think go back to the drawing board. I think you've made a mistake. Yes, this is how my brain works. Welcome to it. And I just couldn't shake it. I just knew. So I thought, okay, well, I will, I'll bring communion in the afternoons. That works. I'm free every afternoon. But when I went to talk to my pastor, he's like, well, I'm more than happy to have you to become a Eucharistic minister, or at the proper term, as I have been corrected before, is the extraordinary minister of Holy Communion. The person who, beside a priest or a deacon or a, you know, a, it's when a lay person that's not ordained, is allowed to bring communion, Jesus and the Eucharist, to others, homebound, hospital. And in this case, I go to the assisted living, and actually I went to visited the sick as well yesterday. Anyway, so he said, you know, I'm glad to have you, but here's the thing. Like, you have to come to 8 o'clock mass. You receive, you get a pix and you receive Jesus and you have to deliver him immediately. You can't go home with him. You can't. So there was no way that I could, you know, go to 8 o'clock mass, come home, or deliver communion and then come home for the show. So it required me to make a very difficult decision. Do I obey the mother of the Blessed Mother and start giving communion and do an encore presentation on Tuesdays or repeat on Tuesdays? Or, do I ignore? But I thought ignoring God and this and the mother of the mother of God, it just didn't make any sense. So I started to give out communion, and it has been a most incredible experience. And when we come back, I just realized we're at the last minute of the segment. When we come back, I'm going to share with you not only finding God's peace in everyday challenges, 100 meditations from women, Heidi Bratton, our book this week from Word Among Us Press. But I want to share with you just my morning, the three widows that I got to visit with, one who is battling a very serious bout of cancer, one whose husband just passed away about a week or so ago, and just the beautiful message that I received that would normally have sent me into a spiral of despair and worry and woe, but instead brought me great peace. And again, God's amazing timing for this week's book, Finding God's Peace in Everyday Challenges, as we enter into a really just a new territory with a president that, well, we'll see. That's all I can say. We'll see. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. My poor producer, poor Alex. He has to put up with so much. If you get a moment today, just offer a prayer for Alex, because during the break, he has to listen to me, and you have no idea how pathetic I am. Today, I was telling him about my eczema, like, wait, TMI, and that he's just such a good egg. My husband, here's some Catholic scripture humor for you. This is how dorky we are in my house. So my hands are, pretty much just peeling and falling apart, and they're nasty. I'm a nasty girl, like Janet Jackson would sing. But my husband said that I need to walk down the hall yelling, unclean, unclean. He's such a dork. In case you're wondering what that reference is to, it's from the scriptures, the lepers. They had to yell unclean so everybody could jump out of the way and not get touched by them. Yeah, that's how I feel. I feel like a leper. Anyway, so yesterday, I went to Mass and I received, it was a good day. It was a good day to go to Mass on an election day. So I went to Mass in the morning, and honestly, I was really struggling with whether I was going to vote or not. Just struggling, there seemed no good option, no good, really no way to vote that I felt comfortable with. There was pros and cons on both sides, and just as I'd get comfortable with one, then something would pop up and I'd feel sick to my stomach again, and I couldn't decide. I was like, that's it. I'm just not voting. I'm just not going. But the Lord had different plans. So I went to Mass and I received the three hosts, and then I went to visit my three lovely ladies for the day. The first stop off was to Alice, this wonderful woman. She's 91 years old. or 92, her husband, Arthur, who I had been visiting for a year, the two of them together married 70 years. He had just passed away about a week ago. And just sitting and listening to her just share her love for him and her heartbreak. And she talked all about, it was interesting because somehow she showed me the flag because he was a veteran. And she showed me the flag that, of course, that the military brings. He got full military honors, taps. He's buried in a military cemetery. And that got me to thinking. You know, about all this, you know, what the young men and women of our country, the servicemen and women do to allow me that right to vote, whether I like the options or not. I have a great privilege to be able to vote. And then the second visit was to another widow. Her husband, she said, was just coming upon 10 years that he had been gone. And she was just so emotional yesterday. So beautiful. Love this woman. Apologizing for being so sensitive. Hey, if you're a sensitive person, please don't apologize that everything makes you cry. That is a gift. That is so beautiful. You could be hard and heartened like I am and nothing makes me cry. Well, I shouldn't say that. Nothing used to make me cry. Allison never cried over anything. But the closer I get to God, the more I find that I cry, not quite about everything, but a lot more than I used to. Things really start to touch my heart. And that's a good thing. Don't apologize. Why do we always do that? You know, afraid to show our emotion, always trying to hide it. Crazy. It's wonderful, man or woman. It's wonderful when you are moved to tears, like so compassionate of heart that you cry. I mean, Jesus wept. Shortest sentence in the scriptures. Jesus wept. Jesus cried. We can cry. So she shared also, again, we got on the topic of how her husband was a veteran and the sacrifices that he did. He was a sharpshooter. She's like, he never spoke about it at all when he got home. But think of the burden he must have carried, you know, having that job, you know, that all the things that he must have seen and done that must have kept him just really ate at his heart sometimes. And it was just amazing to me, you know, just to hear her talk. That's the first time she had really shared about him. So I knew leaving there that there was no way that I wasn't going to vote because too many people have sacrificed too much for me not to exercise that privilege. Then the third person I went to visit is one woman whose husband just died a year ago, and then she found out she had cancer. She really... So feisty, just remarkable. She was just on death's door, probably not even a month ago. And here she was eating soup and just sharing just beautiful stories about her family, her daughter, how much she just adores them. How much, I don't think her daughter even knows how much this woman, is in awe of what her daughter has accomplished and who she is and how proud, how truly proud she is. So I'm so grateful, really, that St. Ian called me to that. And I think there's many reasons that was where the Holy Spirit guided me through the intercession of St. Ian, because it's making me a better person. You know, I feel like I don't serve. I'm so self-centered. I'm so self-absorbed. I don't really go out and help the poor and the needy. I mean, of course, I do in little ways, but it's easy to send money. It's easy to go through your cupboards and clean them out and take out your food or even go to the grocery store and buy food for other people. But to give of your time, to give of yourself, to be there for people who are homebound, it's a spiritual work of mercy. It's a corporal work of mercy. They both kind of go together. I'm praying with others. I'm bringing them Jesus. And I thought it was like going to be this really selfish thing that I did, but I'm finding that they are the ones who are blessing me and teaching me. And we have such a, I hate that our culture throws away the elderly. They are so special. And the whole idea of throwing away the sick and trying to take people out of their suffering. You know, Colorado just passed assisted suicide. That breaks my heart because there is a reason for suffering. There, God does have a plan and a purpose for it. And we it makes me sad. Even to watch yesterday, one of the ladies that I was visiting, one of the older ladies, was just really struggling physically. And she's like, I sometimes sit there and ask God, why do you keep me here? But then she quickly stopped and she said, but I know God has a reason that I'm still here. There is a reason I'm still alive. And I'm going to embrace that, even though my hands don't work and my feet don't work. My mind still works and I'm in pain all the time, but I know God will use it for good. And that is a holy woman. That is a woman who understands God's plans and purposes. And even if she doesn't understand them, obedience to his will, like, wow. I can't really recommend visiting the elderly and the sick enough. I really can't. And if either bringing them communion or just visiting them, just it's such an amazing work. And I am so grateful, just so grateful for the Lord calling me to this. I think it's making me a better person because I'm kind of a creep. I really am kind of a creep. I know. You think, no, sir. How could somebody with a giggle so cute be so creepy? Trust me. Totally, totally creepy. So we're going to look at finding peace this week. And I'm so grateful that God brought this book, Finding God's Peace, an Everyday Challenge, 100 Meditations for Women, out from Heidi Bratton, Bratton, in case I'm saying it wrong, The Word Among Us Press. It's a beautiful little book. It can fit in your purse, fit in a stocking. It can go into your adoration bag. We're going to talk about adoration in the next segment. And it's just this... it's just jam-packed with beautiful thoughts. Let me start with the introduction. Let me share what Heidi had to say about her own book. So what's your new book about, Mommy? Said my six-year-old son. Well, hello, little man, I answered. My new book is about peace. Do you know what that is? Nope, he replied, swinging off the back of my office chair, trying to twirl it and me away from the computer. I paused, thinking how to put peace in terms that a six-year-old would grasp. Well, peace is when someone is not hurried and not worried, I said, and then seeing that no bells were going off in his head, added, like when you and I finish our chores and you are not hanging off my chair and we have all afternoon to swim at the lake. He pondered that for a minute, hopped onto my lap and looked at me with wide eyes and whispered, are you like that, Mommy? Are you not hurried or worried? I love those two words. I think that we should just ponder those for a minute. Hurried and worried. I'm not so much hurried, but I am definitely somebody who is often worried. I hugged his innocent little self, Heidi writes, and didn't know whether to laugh or cry. His question was so sweet and sincere. Was I not hurried or worried? Was I at peace? Should my answer reflect how I was feeling in that exact moment? I am, I whispered back, because God is so good. Mommy is not hurried nor worried, my little man. I am at peace because I'm holding on to Jesus with both hands. Isn't that beautiful? That's part of her introduction to this book, 100 Meditations for Women, Finding God's Peace in Everyday Challenges. And when we come back, we're going to look at some of the different challenges that she offers for us to consider and ways that we can find our peace in it. One of them I want you to consider during this break is breaking out of isolation. One of the greatest devices of the devil is to isolate us, to make us think we're alone, to make us think we're the only one, to make us think that God has abandoned us and that we are we isolate ourselves from other people. We isolate ourselves from God. And the beautiful little traditions that we're given that connects us to God throughout the day, the liturgy of the hours, the Angelus at noon, the divine mercy at 3 o'clock. If these are all terms that you've not heard of, stay tuned because I'll explain what each of those is. That sounds like terrible English. Please stay tuned. I'll even find how to talk good English. You're listening to A Singing Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Sinking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Okay, does it bug you as much as it bugs me when I miss the beat and I'm like talking and not in line with the music? I'm still trying to figure out. I used to have exactly where I was going to say welcome back, and then they asked me to leave a little extra music time before I talked. So I'm still working out the bugs in that. Anyway, just the little things in life that bug me. Really, I need to have more peace, which is a good thing that this week's book is called Finding God's Peace in Everyday Challenges, 100 Meditations for Women, Heidi Bratton, The Word Among Us Press. Such a delightful book. I'm so thrilled to be sharing it with you. I've been trying, like I said, for 2 years to connect with Heidi, to get her on the show so that we could talk about this book. Very blessed to be a part of it, very small part of it. Only one of these somewhere in here, which I'll find for tomorrow's show, is a reflection that I shared with her, a story that I shared with her about my adoption with faith and where God brought us great peace. He didn't find peace. I found peace. He brought peace. I left off by saying at the last segment that there's one of the devices of the devil is to isolate us, make us feel very detached from people, very detached from God. That's the biggest one. And here in the very first, beginning of the book, I don't think it's the very first one, but breaking out of isolation, everyday life, Heidi writes, has a way of isolating us from God. Although I certainly don't mean to put God on the back burner, I can easily get swept up and away from him because of my general busyness. All manner of activities and objects vie for my affection and pocketbook. And yes, even my love of my family can get in the way of keeping the first commandment from Exodus 20. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. And then she talks about, so how can we as modern women keep the first commandment? Thankfully, she writes, it takes on many forms. For some, putting God first has the very traditional look of attending daily mass. I have to admit, I am kind of not good at attending daily mass. I love mass, and it kind of bothers me. Actually, this was a big part of my confession this Saturday, was just trying to get to the heart of why someone who loves mass so much, who loves the Eucharist, who completely believes that what she is receiving in the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of my Lord Jesus Christ, yet still has a really hard time dragging her butt out of, this might be the core, I may have come to it already, dragging my butt out of the house in the morning, especially when it's starting to get so cold and it's 8 o'clock mass and trying to, you know, get the ice off my car. Yes, already the other day there was ice on my car, frost, not really ice, but frost. It's really difficult for me to do that. And you would think that, again, loving God so much, that would be easy for me. But at least I get there Tuesdays. That's another benefit of being called to bring communion, is I get to, it forces me to be less selfish, to get my butt out of the house and spend some extra time with Jesus. I also go to adoration. Again, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. So for some people, is that very traditional getting to mass every day. And that's a beautiful way to stay connected. For some of us, it's a prayer, a ritual of prayer. It's starting every morning with the minute we wake up, open our eyes, just acknowledging God in that day, in that moment. Like, thank you for waking me up. Thank you for another day. Thank you for another chance to get to know you, to be your voice, your hands, your feet in the world, and just to embrace the beauty and the grace and the blessings that you're bringing to me, whether they be challenges, whether those blessings come in challenges, or whether those blessings come in abundance, just really embracing both and being grateful for whatever the Lord has. For others, there are some, the things that God put in, Heidi writes, for other women, God, putting God first and to stay in sync with the church, we come from these other traditions that the church has, including praying the liturgy of the hours, This is prayers throughout the day that the church has. You can either get them on app form, and I will put a link to the app that I use for the Liturgy of the Hours. And if I could think of the, iBreviary. That's what I use, the iBreviary. I never used to pray this. I didn't even know it existed, quite honestly, for many years. And then my husband, being part of the diaconate program, when he is ordained, God willing, a deacon, he will have to pray what's called the hinge prayers, the morning and the evening prayer every day. It's part of his vow and his obligation to the church as a promise, I guess is the word I'm looking for. So this morning, and so to prepare himself to fulfill this, because it becomes obligatory. Well, that's a pretty big word. I actually got it out. After he is ordained, he started to pray them now. So he has introduced them to me. It's part of deacon school on Tuesday evenings. And it really got me opening up this app, this book. The book is a little more challenging, but because you have to flip back and forth. But it's Psalms, it's scripture, it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. We pray the Magnificat, which is Our Lady's fiat, her promise. My goodness, brain, why do you hate words so much? It's that my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. It's beautiful. And we pray that. There's all different kinds of prayers. Anyway, if you haven't yet looked at the Liturgy of the Hours, you want more information, send me a message. Maybe this is something we'll cover in 2017. I think it will be. I'm kind of going to like this new format. There's actually a couple of really good books that I've been looking at for learning the Liturgy of the Hours. One is the Liturgy for Dodos. Liturgy of the Hours for Dodos. You know, instead of calling us dummies, it's for Dodos. It's really a great book. It explains why we pray it, how we pray it. And so for some people, having that part of their routine each day, praying at the beginning of the day and the end of the day, some people do the examine at the beginning and the end of the day. There's so many amazing prayers that are part of our church tradition that growing up Catholic, I didn't even know any of this existed. I had no clue. I'm a clueless Catholic. Clueless Catholic. That's what I was, and that's sometimes still how I feel. The other one is the Angelus. Our church starts the morning mass every morning with the Angelus, this beautiful prayer to our Blessed Mother. And you can do that. Usually it's done at noon. Or the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You can do these anytime, but these are just the tradition of when they're prayed. For others, putting God first looks like reading scripture daily, meeting with a Bible study group weekly, or attending Mass on Sundays. Heidi continues in her book, Finding God's Peace in Everyday Challenges. One of my favorite ways, Heidi shares, is of opening my heart to God each morning is to sing seasonally appropriate hymns with the family, either around the breakfast table or in the car on the way to school or again before going to bed at night. The common ingredient for all of these is that they are not programs or projects. They're simply ways to keep God in the forefront of our lives, whether they're through tradition or newer prayers or devotions. We achieve lasting inner peace by continually putting ourselves in God's presence. There's the key. Continually putting ourselves in God's presence and allowing His love to stabilize our souls. I love Heidi's writing. I always loved Heidi's writing. I should see if we can get, and I can link to her, the archives of her writing from the Anchor newspaper here in the Fall River Diocese. It was really good stuff, especially for women, moms, mothers, but even if you're not a mother or you're not presently an active mother, like your kids are grown and moved out of the house, she's just really always cut to the heart of everyday issues, everyday challenges, like probably why she felt so called to write a book about everyday challenges. And then each one of these reflections ends with a prayer. Lord Jesus, you are my peace. Fill me with the desire to put you first in my life and the discipline to keep you there. That is a very good prayer, the keeping you there, that discipline. I'm not a very disciplined person. Monday, I spoke with Anthony Ryan and we were sharing. He is the marketing director of Ignatius Press. And we were sharing a family of saints new from Ignatius Press and the Martin family, St. Teresa's family, and how disciplined her parents were, especially her father in prayer. This beautiful image I have of him from a reading that I did either in that book or this. Or another one that he every night got on his knees in the kitchen. We're not talking like carpeted or linoleum. We're talking dirt rock floors. And every night he'd get on his knees and he'd pray. Oh, I know where I heard it. It was in a homily. Anyway, just a beautiful, beautiful image. And then, you know, for me, it's adoration. It's finding time, finding a chapel or even just an open church where I can go sit with Jesus in the Eucharist and just be quiet, be close to him, physically close to him. It is definitely the one place that peace abounds. I could go in the most upset about the most serious of situations, and the situation hasn't changed since I walked in the door of the chapel, but the Lord has certainly brought me great peace. And it's just being in his presence, being near him, being reminded that he is God, I am not, that he is in charge, that all will be okay. He promises us this peace. My peace I leave you, not as the world gives, but as I give, Jesus says. And when we come back, we're going to look at more of finding God's peace in everyday challenges, 100 Meditations for Women. Such a wonderful new book. Oh, we're going to look at abandonment. Had quite a godsidence this week between going to confession and what my penance was, and then what I found when I finally decided to clean my room. Yes, my bedroom still looks like I am a teenage girl. We'll be right back with more of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are talking this week about finding God's peace in everyday challenges, 100 Meditations for Women, Heidi Bratton's new book, The Word Among Us Press is where you can find it. It's I can't believe I just said that. I'm reading. Instead of just looking, I'm reading. But anyway, www.wau.org. I felt like just did a PBS commercial there for a second. Word Among Us Press is wau.org. It's a great website, great books. Excited to share this book with you. And so here's some godsidences abound in my life. What's a godsidence? A godsidence is when the rest of the world might say, wow, that was a crazy coincidence. But Allison knows that it was God. It was truly God at work in my life, pushing me to see what he needs me to see, revealing, like lifting that veil, just making it abundantly clear to my thick little head what he is asking of me. So Saturday, I started hiking. Isn't that funny? So I hate outside. Just don't like outside. And yesterday, by the way, I realized why I don't like outside. And I'll get back to the abandonment thing in a minute. Don't worry. I'm with it. But this is just a little rabbit hole I gotta share before I forget. So yesterday I went outside to do my rosary walks. I was talking about how I went to vote. First I went to Mass and then I visited to the wonderful widows and then I was going to pray the rosary and then go vote. So I usually just walk around the house, you know, stay close to the yard and stay close to the house, walking around my yard. My son and his girlfriend were sitting on the front yard and they're having a pretty serious conversation. And I thought, that's going to look just more awkward than normal. I keep walking by them as they're sitting on the lawn. So I said, all right, for today, I'm going to go around the block. I can handle going around the block. Yeah, I can't handle going around the block. First of all, I got stopped halfway, not even a few steps into it, by a neighbor who I didn't even know. She was actually babysitting for a neighbor. So a friend of mine was babysitting for a neighbor. But this ended up being a Holy Spirit guardian moment, guardian angel moment, because we ended up talking for a few minutes. And then finally, I get back on my walk. I am halfway through the walk and I look up, I'm praying, and I hear this weird noise. And I look up, and about 100 yards in front of me is a wild horse, a real horse, a big horse that crossed my path. It was running wild, no rider, no nothing. And then the rider, the owner of the horse was chasing after it. Yeah, I almost got killed by a horse. Really? This is why I stay in my yard. This is why I don't leave the yard. But the rest, so that had to do with hiking. What does that have to do with hiking? Well, I used to hike in the 80s with my husband when we were younger. And my last hike in the woods, I encountered a snake, a rabid raccoon, and a bull. Not kidding. Those are the things in the woods. One walk, I'm done. So when the weather starts to get cooler, there's less bugs, less snakes, less everything. And my husband convinced me to go hiking with him. Last week, we actually went hiking 3 times. There's a hiking path very close to what's called La Salette. Let's try not to be so Boston for a minute. La Salette Shrine in Attleboro, Massachusetts. There's wonderful hiking paths nearby. And I wanted to go to confession. They have confession every Saturday, 1 to 4. I thought, not my favorite place for confession, but I'll try it. So we went for our hike. I go over to go to confession. There's about 50 people in line before me. Not exaggerating. That's incredible, but I wasn't going to wait 7 hours to go to confession. So I said to my husband, let's go back to town and I'll go to Father John. He's not my pastor, but the church is in my town. I love going to confession to Father John. He is just amazing, amazing priest. So I'll go to Father John. What is my penance from this wise sage priest? The prayer of abandonment. This is from Charles D. Foucault and Foucault. And I know about it because my spiritual director, he's memorized it. He tells me about it all the time. In fact, on the back of his wife's prayer card, she died August 17th of this year, is the prayer of abandonment. And when I saw my spiritual director last time, just last month, he gave me another one of her cards. And he said, I want you to make sure you're praying this prayer. Like, you know, obviously pray for Nancy, but I want you to be focusing on this prayer. I put it into my wallet and I didn't turn to it, didn't look at it, didn't think about it. And then my penance was to pray the prayer of abandonment. That's an odd penance. I get the weirdest penances, but I love them because I know they are from God because they're so unique to me. I don't get like, go say 2 Hail Marys or 1 Our Father. Nope. I get, go pray the litany of humility. Go spend time with your mother. I've gotten that one, you know. Go do something good for somebody that you feel that you hurt this week. So now every time I do something good for somebody, they're going to be looking at me like, what did you do to me? Am I your penance? So here's this beautiful prayer of abandonment. Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you may do, I thank you. I am ready for all. I accept all. Let only your will be done in me and in all of your creatures. I wish no more than this, O Lord. Into your hands I commend my soul. I offer it to you with all the love of my heart, for I love you, Lord, and so need to give myself, to surrender myself into your hands without reserve, with boundless confidence, for you are my Father. So that's Saturday. Then on Sunday, I'm cleaning, looking for something, and I find the novena abandonment to God that a friend of mine gave me last year. And it is based on Father Delindo Rotulo's, totally massacring that name, he gave it to us from God. And he was a friend of Padre Pio. Padre Pio had pretty amazing stuff to say about him. So it's legit. It's an up and up kind of thing. And it's 9 days of prayer. And I will share the link to it, I promise. And I'm in the middle of praying it right now because after I found it, I realized that the Lord was calling me to abandon myself to Him. And at the end of each day, you say 10 times, "Oh Jesus, I surrender myself to You. Take care of everything. Oh Jesus, I surrender myself to You. Take care of everything." Isn't that beautiful? How often do we think that, but to say it? And I love that you don't just say it once, you say it 10 times. And I try to say it actually throughout the day while I'm doing this novena, hopefully etching it into my brain. Oh Jesus, I surrender myself to You. Take care of everything. So when God is really trying to press something into Allison's head, He seems to send me things in three. As I shared in the adoption story, when the Lord was trying to direct me to go to China Adoption with Love, He sent me 3 days in a row somebody out of nowhere to say, "Hey, have you ever thought of China Adoption with Love?" So here we have the prayer of abandonment given as confession, penance. Now, I believe when I'm in the confessional that the priest is in persona Christi. He's in the person of Christ. He is acting as Christ to me, but and not in just a symbolic way, but a much more true way. Like He's truly being Christ to me in that moment. And so I get from Christ prayer of abandonment. Then out of nowhere, as I'm cleaning, looking for something completely different, out comes this novena. And it was even weird because I didn't really notice at first what it was. I just saw this folded up piece of paper and I thought, "Oh, I need this." It wasn't until I got downstairs and opened it and went, "Oh, that's why I need it." Now, we're brought to today, Finding God's Peace in Everyday Challenges, 100 Meditations for Women, Heidi Bratton's book, our feature of this week. And Heidi will be here Friday, November 11th at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Can't wait to talk with her. Here she has, I'm just randomly flipping through the book this morning. Like, which ones do I want to share with you? Yeah. Abandoning our burdens to the Lord, I find. Yeah. Uh-huh. And she writes about Hannah, a woman in the Old Testament. She's an excellent role model for how to get real with God as we try to carry the burdens that are robbing us of Christ's peace. Heidi writes, Hannah was one of Elkanah's? Yeah, we'll go with that. Two wives. Oh, and Elkanah was a real treasure. We're running out of time, so I'm just going to let you know. She couldn't have children, and she was very sad. And he says to her, "Hey, you've got me. What else could you want?" Pretty much. Yeah, lovely. So she meets the prophet Samuel, and Samuel tells her, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to Him." She goes and she prays and she asks God for a child, and she says, "If I have the child, then I will offer him to you." And it's just this whole abandonment, and he does. She's given Elijah, and is it Elijah? Oh, I'm terrible at these Bible stories. Anyway, she's given a baby. She gives the baby to him. He becomes a great prophet. I haven't been Samuel. Yeah, it was Samuel that she was given. It was Eli that... Oh, I'm so bad at this. After Hannah explained the reason for her sadness and told him of a prayer for a child, Eli, yes, Eli was the prophet. Samuel is the child. Hannah abandoned herself to God's will, accepted whatever He was going to do. He did bless her with a baby. She gave the baby to God, back to Eli to raise and to be a great prophet for God. And then He blessed her back with more children. And, well, the same husband. We will talk more about finding God's peace in everyday challenges. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.